Another Tuesday is here, and we're here for the 308th, believe it or not, 308th installment of this show. Those of you who've managed to soldier it out for 308, congratulations. I don't know how you do it. I don't know how I've done it, but here we are. No, we do it because we manage it because it's a lot of fun. We have a lot of fun here, I believe. If you're new, I hope you'll stick around for the whole show. We do have a Christian-specific segment that's roughly the halfway point of the show. Stick around for it. Hopefully it'll be something you're not expecting. You might actually get something out of it. But it is in its own separate part, mostly. I get a little preachy in the first half anyway. That's just how the show is. You gotta roll with the flow. Before we keep going here, I did recently hear from Sven. I haven't had a Sven update in a while. I did recently hear from Sven, and he is doing okay. He's going back and forth with different government agencies. They can't decide what to do with him. But they can't, because on the one hand, they're trying to act like he's a terrorist or something. And on the other hand, they're like, well, we can't have him taking up these resources because he's obviously not a terrorist anyway. But he's doing good. He's doing good, and it's always good to know he's soldiering along, and he's going to get through this. You know, his sentence will be up later this year. This is going to be a good thing, and I'm looking forward to it. Also, I don't know how many of y'all listen to our regular program the rest of the week, but my Friday Daily Nationalist, I put a message up. I have put the Friday show. I mentioned it on yesterday's Daily Nationalist, but I'm going to say it again here today in case you can catch that. The Friday Daily Nationalist show is on hiatus right now. I put that on hiatus. For any number of reasons, again, you can listen to yesterday's show, get into that a little more, but it's basically stretching the content for me, because I'm real picky about what I do. I just am. I have this whole thing where I don't want to be phoning in shows and just putting up content, say I put something up. I'm just not going to do that. And it's just, the Friday show was kind of the stickler point. The Monday Daily National show, good to go with that. This show, I've been doing this show for 308 episodes. I should have it down, you think, by now. Some days, some weeks you may question that, but I should have that down. You know, of course, we have Dr. Johnson's content as Orthodox Nationalist on Wednesdays, which, is always good, always interesting. And his Daily Nationalist on Thursday, which is generally speaking, geopolitically centered. And, he's got his niche with that. And then that Friday show is just kind of out there. And I've missed doing a couple of those recently here and there. And a large part of that is just because it's kind of a struggle sometimes to come up, what are we going to talk about? But anyway, so there is that program. Again, I just wanted to be sure and pass that along in case you didn't get the news. So you're not looking for it. So you're not looking for the Friday show. Man, where that Friday show at? It's all good. Nothing else changing here during the week. I just got to keep things humming along. Again, I know the site's missing a lot of content, but that's just part of the whole what we got to go through with Sven being absent. Anyway, getting back on track. If you do get something out of the show, don't be shy to pay those tithes. We have snail mail. That's it. And I've mentioned this before. I need to mention it more often. Look, the crypto addresses on here, those are Sven's from before he went away. And, I don't have access to those. So I've got the snail mail. That's it. It's here on the description page. Stamp an envelope. It's not hard to figure out. I do appreciate it. It's always very much appreciated. Listener supporter mailbag. You see, we go from that right into the listener supporter mailbag. Mr. T, congratulations. You're our Lone Ranger. You're our Lone Ranger for this week, Mr. T. You get the sole award. I do appreciate it. You see, we're through the listener supporter mailbag. It goes that fast. We just keep rocking. We're gonna spend some time with some conspiracy today. This is in the conspiracy theory. Conspiracy observation is more accurate, isn't it? Conspiracy observation. Read a story this past week. Or last week now. I'm recording this on Saturday. I always have to remember to keep that straight. But there's a story last week, and you probably saw it too. The whole Trump hoo-ha. going on. And it's interesting to me, I was talking about this, you know, before the election, that Trump was making a deal. We were seeing public negotiations for a deal. And it's coming together. And I said at the time, we were going to figure out what deal was made, because if he was allowed to be the president again, and that obviously has happened, and in hindsight, we'd figure out what kind of deal got made. And that's starting to come together. And I think we're seeing that now. We're seeing some window dressing, some things happening on the domestic front. People are getting excited about it. And the deal is coming together. Basically, they're going to allow him to roll back, to do some of this stuff on the domestic front in exchange for basically greater Israel. The Palestinians have been sold down the river. They're basically, Israel's going to be given the green light, I think, to finish ethnically cleansing them off. And in exchange, Trump's getting allowed to do some of this domestic stuff. Some of it a little more meaningful, others. But the thing is, it's temporary. You know, people getting all these, I laugh because people getting all excited. And I understand, you know, people black-pilled and they looking around and it's like, we've had all this 4 years of insanity, which perhaps that's intentional too. Get into that here in a minute. But, you know, they're getting all excited. You know, well, Trump says, we're not doing the crazy climate nonsense anymore. We're not going to do this. We're not going to do that. And that's all well and good. Except that when he's gone, the next guy will just put it all back. You see, it's temporary. The next guy will just bring it all back. We'll be back in the Paris Climate Accords or whatever. We'll be right back. Now, Israel, after they've pushed the Palestinians out, they're going to keep the land. That ain't temporary. But the domestic stuff that was traded off for that, that'll be temporary. That'll get rolled back. We'll be right where we started, except Israel will have more land now. I think that's a pretty obvious take. Pretty obvious what the deal was. And as I said, you know, the insanity of what we have. I was thinking of this, you know, you have to wonder if part of it is they pushed that insanity so they could roll it back and people feel like they're winning, you know? I mean, in other words, 10 years ago, we were already in a heap of trouble. We were already in a mess. Well, then they go extreme with this quote unquote woke stuff. I hate that term, but the quote unquote woke stuff. And now, well, Trump's in there and they're rolling it back. Well, we were already in a mess 10 years ago, but you see, things got so weird and extreme that they're rolling back the weird and extreme stuff. Everybody's excited. You know, Trump, I saw where Trump declared that, you know, they can't fly any flag, you know, on any government building, embassies, etc., except for the American flag. And, you know, everybody's all excited because we know what that means. No more gay flag on the embassies overseas. This is how far we're gone. When it's a big win, when we're not doing the gay anal banner on our embassies. You know, the Republicans running around going on about transgenders and women's sports, but we're going to roll it back. That's going to save the country. In other words, you have to wonder if some of the points of this really insane stuff that really in a lot of ways is meaningless. I mean, it's not completely meaningless, but it is. I mean, you okay, you pass a decree that says they're not going to hang the rainbow flag on the embassy anymore. But I mean, is that really going to better our lives? Is that going to really change the direction? They give these token things and then everybody feels like they've got a big win. You know? Speaking of conspiracies, you know, they're going to release again. I've been hearing this off and on my whole life, but this time they're really supposedly going to do it. All the paperwork on the JFK thing. And you watch the media, you watch the mainstream media try to spin this. These conspiracy theories have surrounded this for years because these crackpots just don't want to believe a lone gunman killed these people. Then why'd you have to hide it? Why did they have to classify it like for eternity? You know, if your story is true, then why'd you have to hide everything? They never answer that, do they? Because they're lying. We all know they're lying. Oh, then people that were involved in that, we'll just say the JFK, because JFK, RFK, and Martin Luther King. But we'll just say JFK just for keep things flowing here. You look at all the people involved in the JFK assassination, and they're all probably dead by now. I mean, there may be a few of them still alive. They in a nursing home or something. So what do they care? Because the agencies are still here, aren't they? It doesn't matter if everybody involved is dead. If they have to admit that the CIA was working, say, if the CIA was working with the Mossad in this assassination plot, those things are still around, and people are going to say, well, hey, you're not exactly going to sell them on, oh, but we don't do that anymore. We don't do that anymore. Come on now. You ain't going to get anything. They're gonna give you some kind of release, and they'll say, that's it. Yeah. Because it's not like there's magic and they can't shred this stuff. It's not like there's a magic barrier and they won't be able to shred this paperwork. They're going to give you some kind of nothing and then say, see, you a bunch of crazy conspiracy theorists. Now, I saw a story. I started to get to this and then I got off track. But I saw a story on this Trump stuff. And he had this whole thing, and y'all probably saw this too. And he's up there with this Larry Ellison and Sam Altman, both of whom are very trustworthy individuals. Let me tell you, very trustworthy. And they were doing this whole thing about mRNA. They're going to come up with an AI-generated mRNA vaccine for things like cancer and to make you live longer. I laughed when I read this, but it was worth jotting down and discussing. And this is kind of the heart of what I wanted to get into. The rest of that was just preamble ramble. An AI-generated mRNA, AI-generated. This is, by the way, this is just slop for the goy. This is just slop for the peasants. This is a word salad. People hear things like AI and they've been programmed. It's not just an mRNA, it's an AI mRNA vaccine for the people, for cancer. You don't want cancer, do you? It doesn't. How's the AI going to generate a vaccine? People have this mystical idea of what AI even is, because again, they've seen TV, they've seen the movies. They do this talk about AI becoming sentient. They don't even know what that means. But anyway, they're going to have an mRNA. According to these two very trustworthy guys, they're going to come up with an mRNA vaccine for the cancer. You see, they'll test you, see what kind of cancer you're prone to. They're not going to, still no talk, by the way, of getting rid of all the microplastics and the other crap in our environment that's giving us cancer. Don't need that. They're going to have this vaccine. They're going to test you, probably do that sketchy test that they did with COVID thing. And they're going to know what kind of cancer you're prone to, you're carrying around. The AI is going to generate an mRNA vaccine. They're going to shoot you up. You're not going to get the cancer, because ain't nobody want the cancer. Tell me. Preach. Nobody want the cancer. We're going to. See, you have conspiracy theories, because there's obvious conspiracies if you define them as agendas, plans, plots. And they're not going to tell you what their intention is. So then you are forced to, when you recognize that, well, obviously there's an intention here, and they're not going to tell us what the actual goal. So then you have to what? Theorize. This is a good example. This is why I jotted this down. This obsession with these mRNA, quote unquote, vaccines. They're not vaccines. They use that word again, so you will conflate this in your head. You spent your whole life hearing vaccines, and you're thinking about, well, that's when they take a dead or weakened virus and put it in your body, and your body attacks it, overcomes it, and now you have natural immunity. That's how we've all defined it, but now they have this new thing, and there's nothing related to that. But they hang vaccines on there, so you'll make that association. Now, we looked at the COVID vaccines. We were all familiar with that whole fiasco. And now this. Now, what we can surmise from this is they're determined to get this mRNA stuff in people. This is a safe assumption. This is, again, where you're looking at, there's obviously a goal here. There's an end game. There's a plan. They are obviously determined to get this mRNA shots into people, whether it's a COVID or a can, you know, however they decide to market it. Regardless of that, there's an intention to get these into you. For whatever reason, we don't know what that intention is, what that end goal is. We can't. They're not going to tell us. But we can surmise that if they did tell us, we wouldn't do it. I mean, if these things were going to be beneficial, they could tell you what their plan was, why they're determined long term. Because, again, you can't look at these stories. They always want you to look at these stories in a vacuum, like without any context. But if you look at this in the context of the COVID vaccine, then you have to say, well, they're determined to get this mRNA stuff in you for whatever reason. And they're not telling us. I mean, yeah, they're telling you it's for cancer. If you have two brain cells together, you know that's bullshit. You have the COVID thing, and now this, in that context, you can surmise that for whatever reason, and again, they're not telling us, and they're not going to tell us, which we can imply from that, that if they did tell us, we wouldn't go along with it. So they're bullshitting us. They're determined to get this mRNA stuff into us. They're going to market it however, but we can come to the conclusion with our observation that for whatever reason, they're determined to get this into us, and they're not going to tell us what it is, which implies that it's not good, because if they did tell us, we wouldn't go along with it. I'm sorry, but if you're low IQ enough to think that these people care about you and that's what they're trying to go for, they want to protect your health and make you live longer, you know, you can just turn off now, because you ain't going to make it here. This is this show, our content here, requires a little higher intelligence than that. If you really believe these people care about you and want you to have a healthy, long life, then you can stop here and go watch CNN and MSNBC and the rest of that crap. This ain't the place for you. They're determined to get this stuff in. Now we have to guess, and I have no idea. Then you get into more and more of the theorizing. You see, that's the way it works. You have to guess, because they're not going to tell us. It's pretty obvious to me, the COVID vaccine thing, the mRNA vaccine for that, that was step one. That got people conditioned. Now they come out with the next one. They weren't going to do a virus thing. I mean, well, they may do a virus thing, but I don't think that's going to be the big mRNA push. At least not for a while, because there's still people pretty sore over the COVID thing. But if they can market that as for the cancer, you know, that's another level. And then after that, there'll be another push with another marketing campaign. The way these things tend to work is, you see, they offer, they market this, they sweeten it up to try to get people to go along. And when they get enough people, then they'll be down to the manageable people, the manageable number of people, those like you and me that are going to be like, it doesn't matter how they try to sell it to us, I ain't taking that shit. You see, the idea is to whittle it around. They market it as, this is what we're going to do for you. You know, we're going to keep you from getting the COVID. Well, you won't keep you from getting the COVID, but it'll keep you from dying. Well, it might not keep you from dying, but it might keep you out of the hospital and won't be as severe. You know, the meme. Well, this will keep you from getting the cancer. Well, this will keep you from. They tell you what they're going to do for you. If you'll just take this shot, you're going to be able to do this. You're going to be able to do that. It's going to be great. And then they get enough people to go along, and they're down to this manageable lot that it doesn't matter what they say, that they lie and claim they're going to do for you. They get down to these, it doesn't matter what they say, they ain't going to take it. People like you and me. And when they get that number manageable enough, that will switch. And they will go from, this is what we're going to do for you, to this is what we're going to do to you. Now you'll know you've reached critical mass. When they go from, what we're going to do for you if you take the shot to, then this is what we're going to do to you because you refuse to take it. Then the mask slips, you see. They got to get you down to a manageable number. And the thing that's always going to be disappointing for people, you get to that point, is their enforcers are not necessarily going to be the cops. I mean, yeah, that fits into it. Because even when they whittle you down to a small enough number, there's still going to be more of you. There's still going to be more of us than there are them, as far as, you know, cops and official government officials. We saw a lot of this during the COVID thing. As the COVID thing, the COVID vaccine thing was a good first step for them to see how this would work, how they would manage it. It's also a good first step for us to observe it and understand how these things play out, how it works. So even when they get you whittled down to where they think that's a manageable number, there's still going to be more of us than there are them. The thing is going to be blackpilling and disappointing for the enforcers will be the people in your community, people you know. Remember the COVID thing and with the masks. You see, that was actually, it's all in steps. They started with the masks, then they moved to the vaccine. You see, it's a step-by-step thing. You look at the mask thing when they were conditioning people with that. You went in the store, you'd see these TikTok videos or whatever, and people go in the store, and you're one of these people like me. It's like, I ain't wearing no damn mask. That's stupid. 9 times out of 10, you didn't see videos, hardly any videos of like some cop showing up and threatening you over the mask, did you? No. It's people's fellow citizens. You know, somebody coming up and screaming, you're trying to kill us all because you won't wear the mask. That's their enforcers. It's not the cops. It's people in your community. Hell, friends, even family. What's wrong with you? See, the social pressure, that's where they put down. That'll be their enforcers, not the cops. You outnumber the cops. How are they going to send the cops for everybody? No. But when everybody around you is telling you how an evil person you are, why don't you, you want everybody to get cancer. You won't take the cancer vaccine. See, they say the reason it ain't working is because of you people. We took it. How come you people? You can't say it's far-fetched. We saw it with the COVID thing, remember? They told everybody they're going to ease back the lockdowns if everybody just takes the vaccine. And again, you thought the vaccines, because you made that relation in your mind, meant now you don't get it. If you're vaccinated against malaria, you go swamp through the jungle and you ain't going to get malaria because you had the vaccine, right? And then they said, well, the reason these aren't working is because of those people. It's not because we sold you a bill of goods. It's not because we lied to you. These people all took this shot, this experimental gene therapy. They took this damn shot. And then when it didn't work, what did they tell them? Don't get mad at us. The reason it's not working is because of these people who won't take it. And they believed it. They ran out there mad at everybody. You didn't take the shot. That's why everybody's still getting the COVID. That's why my shot's not working. It was the same with the mask, remember? The mask keeps me safe. Well, then why do you care if I don't wear one? For mine to work, you've got to wear yours too. You see, it warmed them up for the vaccine. My vaccine won't work unless you take yours too. It's laughable on his face. And then people went along with it. That's their enforcers, I'm telling you. People you know, people you work with, people around you. That's who's going to enforce it. I don't know what their long-term plan. I don't know what they're trying to achieve. They ain't going to tell us. Again, if it was good, they'd tell us. But it ain't. It ain't good. I don't know what it is, but I know it ain't good. Oh no, don't know what it's going to do. I don't know what they're trying to accomplish. And it's possible that they do think they're going to be able to develop some sort of shot that preserves their youth, rebuilds their DNA to stop their bodies. It's not going to work, by the way, because that flies in the face of the natural order, which is the system of this world. It's not going to work. But it's possible that that's what they're aiming towards. Not for you, by the way. That's for them. If they ever did manage, they won't. But if they ever did manage to develop such a thing, that's for them. They're not going to give it to you. but they need long-term trials in a large group. And you're the rats. You're the lab rats. You are the test subjects. Again, that's pure theory because they're not going to tell us. But it's as good a theory as any, isn't it? Now, me, it goes beyond that for me. See, here's my own theory on it. Here's the part where we're getting close to the Christian specific segment, so I'm going to preach a little bit here. We are made from the first man, Adam. If you could trace your lineage far enough back, you could trace it to the first man, Adam, who was created by God, what? In his image. That means when God made Adam, he created Adam's DNA. He made that DNA, the first set of DNA, and then you start dividing that down all through these thousands of generations to where we are today. But see, you still carry that signature DNA from the first man, from God's creation, and that signs you off as a creation of God. It may be a small fragment, but it's still there. You don't get rid of it. You just build upon it, but it's still there. That signature that ties you back to God's creation, that says you are part of what God created in his image. Now, they want to give you this shot that rewrites that. It starts making you think about things like marks of the beast and stuff. Where if these shots break that part down and removes that signature DNA that says you're related to God's original, you are a part of God's original creation. If it eliminates that, it breaks, it severs that tie. You see what I'm saying? Now, that's just one of the things. Because I do believe a lot of these things you look at, that if you dig deep enough, you'll find a spiritual motivator in it. And the people pushing it probably don't even realize that. But there is. There's a spiritual motivator involved in it. So why a lot of times you'll see them do things that if you think about it, it's like, that's not even in their best interest. Why are they doing it? Such a destructive thing. It would make more sense to do this or the other because there's a spiritual driver behind it. They're doing the bidding of the destroyer, the liar, the murderer. So they're just driven to do that. There's a spiritual motivator behind it. I'm so suspicious that one of the things they're trying to do with this is ultimately to sever that tie, to remove that. They're talking about, oh, this rewrites your DNA. To do what? Maybe they're just severing that last, to get rid of, to eliminate that genetic piece that ties you to God's creation, that makes you something else. Makes you something else. Because if you lose that connection, then what are you? If you don't have that genetic connection to God's original created man, then what the hell are you? Something else? Who are you tied to? Are you this new man that they seek to create? I realize I started getting preachy early, but I'm going to tell you something, why that is. You're never going to, and I've said this before, and I know I'm preaching in a way to the choir because most of y'all are regular listeners here, but you're never going to understand everything in the world around you unless you can understand the spiritual aspect of it. And there's always a spiritual aspect to these things. They're driven to do this and they're trying to do something. They don't tell us. And you see this in a lot of these things they're doing, like that CERN, that particle accelerator collider thing. Oh, we're trying to understand. They've spent billions of dollars building this thing. We're trying to understand the nature of the universe. No, they're not. You don't spend billions of dollars on a curiosity. They're doing something else. I don't know what it is. I'm not even going to pretend to know. But they're doing something else. They may not even know what they're doing. Again, that may be a spiritual driver. But you don't spend billions of dollars because you're curious about black holes and the beginning of the universe or some horse shit. You don't spend that kind of money. They're doing something else with it. I don't know what it is, but it ain't what they're telling us. That's as real as, you know, AI generated mRNA vaccines are going to cure cancer. That's just crap they tell to you. I don't know what they're doing, but it ain't what they're claiming they're doing. There's something else there. Anyway, all I can tell you is beware of trustworthy individuals. They're trying to get you to take an mRNA vaccine, an mRNA shot. No matter what they tell you, they're trying to do for you. I can pretty much guarantee when they get done with that, they'll move on to what they're going to do to you. We got to get into the Christian specific segment. Got to keep it on rolling. Y'all know what to do. Get in there, fill those pews. Let's get into this week's sermon at the Parish of the Patriots. It's no difficult feat to look around and observe the state of wickedness and evil in the world around us. You contemplate it all day long. I contemplate it all the time. I believe that one of the things that's essential to understanding our role and our walk with the Lord and our Christian faith is also understanding our enemy. You know, you understand yourself, you understand your enemy. So you have to understand the evil in the world and the wickedness in the world. And a part of that is understanding where it comes from, you know, where it originates from. One of the things I find interesting, of course, is we live among a godless people. I mean, generally speaking, whether they go to church or not is irrelevant. We live among a godless people, you know, in generally speaking. Again, not every individual person. Obviously, you are listening to this show, and you're probably not, hopefully, a godless person. But generally speaking, we live among a godless people. But how did it get this way? Because it didn't used to be that way. And I was considering how those who came before us generations ago, they warned us and they got mocked for their trouble. That's always that way, isn't it? You try to warn people and you get mocked for your trouble, you know? And then turns around later, begrudgingly, those who care about the truth have to acknowledge that those people who got mocked were correct, even though maybe they're not even around anymore. I was thinking of those who came before us that warned us about the media. Now, I want to be specific here what I mean by the media. I'm not talking about just the news media. I'm talking about media. I'm talking about radio. And in other words, I'm talking about media as defined as the means by which we receive information. Began, you could say, with radio. Because before that, you had periodic newspapers that would get circulated around, but that was limited. Didn't have that good of effect. But then you had radio. And then everybody had a radio in their homes. And there were people even back then that said, well, it's evil. You're letting the devil in your house. And people snickered. Then they came out with motion pictures, the movies, quite crude and simple in the early days, but they became more and more advanced. But even in those early days, even during the silent movies, there are people that warning you're going to get influenced by the devil with that. And people, again, snickered and said, that's silly. Then you move along, and then you get TV. And then you had people saying, well, TV, you're letting the devil. You know, you're letting the devil in your home with that TV and all of that nonsense coming in. And people looked around, and shows were on like, you know, Leave It to Beaver or something. It's like, well, that's silly. There's nothing devilish about Leave It to Beaver. But in retrospect, I think we have to admit that those people who got mocked and snickered at back then were right. And this is part of what leads us into considering why we live amongst godless people. You have to admit that those that came before are right. And why is that? You see, media, we know we're given these different narratives. Sometimes it's less obvious. And it's not just what the news media, that's why I wanted to be clear. When I say media, I'm talking about the means of communication, radio, TV, radio, not so much anymore, but all of it, music, entertainment, movies, TV, the news media. And now we, of course, have the internet, which is just, they try to keep you herded into the mainstream sources. Anybody that tries to do a search, whether you use DuckDuck, Google, whatever, you're looking for something and all you're going to get is, you know, CNN, MSNBC, all of that. They try to funnel you in. Why? Because they're giving you a narrative. You see, the reason those people that came before that warned us about this were correct is because this opened up the means to give us the narrative. You see, before those days, I mean, everybody has a narrative. You know, you have a story. before those days, we told our own story. We had we passed down our stories. You pass down stories to your children and your grandchildren, your history, who you are, where you came from, what your ancestors did. And it was a personalized story. Your great-grandfather came over on the Mayflower, whatever. But we told our own stories to ourselves. Who we are, what defined us, in other words, our history, for instance. We told that to ourselves. We told it to each other. We told our own story. We created, we gave our own narrative. We knew this is what happened to your great-grandmother. This is what happened to your grandmother when this happened, and this was what was going on, and this is what they experienced. We told our own narrative. We told our own story. But you see, with the advent of these other forms of media, we no longer told our story. Our story, our narrative, was told to us by others, not us. We went from telling ourselves and our descendants and those who come after us, our children, our grandchildren, even great-grandchildren, we went from telling them who they are, who we are, to having these outsiders telling us who we are. It's a big difference, isn't it, from a discussion about this is who we are to having someone else say, this is who you are. And, of course, the message is a negative one. It is, you know, everything we've gone, when we're telling our own stories, we were talking about our accomplishments, the hardships our ancestors survived, and that's tied to you. It's personal. You have a relationship to that. Versus an outsider saying your ancestors were evil. They did all of these horrible things, and you should feel bad for it. Instead of feeling a sense of pride and connection to our past, to those who came before you. It makes all the difference in the world when you have a tie to something, your values, what you believe, your faith, and things such as that, when you have a tie. You think about the conflict you have raising your children. If you have children, and you're trying to make your children understand. For instance, if you have children and they do something they shouldn't do, you would tell them, we don't do things like that. Not just you don't. You know, and I think that's an important thing to tie that in. You know, if you just tell your kids, you don't do that. You know, well, if you do that and you're just telling them they can't, it doesn't go very far, does it? You just come across as hypocritical. But when you can tell your children, hey, we don't do that, that's not who we are. You see, it means something. We, it's not just about them. You're not just standing there telling them, you don't do that. Don't pay any attention to what I do. You don't do that. But when you can tell them, we don't do that, you're leading by example. We don't do that. And it soaks in. But you're in conflict now, right? Because before all of these forms of media came about, you didn't have competition. The people that came before, they could say, they would say that, and the children would know that this is so, because we were telling our own story. Now you tell your children, we don't do that, and they will hear it. But the problem is they have a constant flow, this constant message, this narrative. Again, our story is being told by someone else. Someone not us. And they're told, this is who you are. This is what you do. Don't listen to them. Here's your story. This is who you are. This is what you should embrace. These are your values. It's the latest thing. You don't want to be stodgy and behind the times. That's so old news. Look, this is the latest thing. This is what everybody else is doing. That's how they promote it. This is what everybody else is doing. As if, you know, as if that excuses anything. One of the forms of message creep the MCC has undergone, you know, because they do, they ignore what's in the Bible and they preach the latest, you know, they excuse everything, their heresies with Jesus and love. And people will fall into it because I believe in the back of their mind, they think to themselves, they go to an MCC that tells them everything's great. You know, basically, practically, there's no such thing as sin. And because of Jesus' love, hell probably doesn't even exist. Everybody's going to get to heaven and so on and so forth. And they look around and they're thinking, well, if all of these people are doing this, then it must be okay. Because, I mean, there's no way God's going to throw all of them into hell, right? If everyone else is doing it, then it must be okay. You see, because we're social creatures and we want to tend to fit in with those around you. When you think about that, when you consider this, it's an immense amount of power they wield with this media, these different messages, different forms of messaging. And when people get this idea that, well, this is what everybody's doing, so it must be okay. It's a lie, of course. But that's the way the devil operates. I think our minds, you know, we're not built for mass media, you know, for all of this, you know, information. You watch a show and it's fiction, you know. But your mind doesn't necessarily, in the back of your mind, your subconscious, I think it has a hard time really differentiating that. You're taking in the visual information. You can consciously say, well, this is a fictional show. But your mind is still processing that information and filing it in there. And this, too, I think adds another layer of depth to this external narrative they feed us. For instance, when they talk about, oh, we're gonna go colonize Mars. We don't have roads that you can really drive on without weaving all over and not bottoming out your car, but never mind that, don't pay any attention. We're gonna set up a damn Mars colony or something. And you think of that and it's absurd on its face, isn't it? But people believe it. Why? Because they've seen all these movies about going to outer space. They watched Star Trek their whole life, or they've seen all these different space movies and they're doing all these things in space and having space battles. And even though when they watched that, they knew it was fiction, but they internalize it. So when they're fed this narrative of, never mind your collapsing society, we're totally working on a Mars base, people sit there, nod and go along instead of saying, well, that's absurd, because they've internalized that fiction. It's in that file. When they hear that, their mind goes back to the file and says, oh, yeah, I've seen something like that. See, it's just going to come. It's just going to come about. It's fiction yesterday. It's going to be fact today. Now, I realize this doesn't sound very related to our Christian-specific segment, but it very much is. As I've said before, men have the desire, a spiritual need, for God. I mean, they do. You cannot just remove God from people and then they just go about just with nothing. They will seek out a God. It's just going to be a false God. If they're not seeking out the Lord, they'll invent a God. In other words, if you remove God from society through these narratives will then give you a replacement. Man, why, you yourself are like God. It's not a new argument. When Satan tempted Eve in the garden, he said, if you eat of this, you eat the fruit, you will become like gods. You will become like gods. It's kind of the same narrative. Man replaces God. The science replaces. It's laughable when you see people who on the one hand, will look at you as a believer and mock you and say, oh, well, you believe in these ancient fairy tales, even though it's backed up by thousands of years of history recorded in books and in different writings, studies. Men have studied, spent their whole life studying and writing down what they, you know, about these different things and trying to understand them. And they'll say, this is all made up. This is all foolishness. But then you watch these same people and their blind devotion to their false gods when reality flies in the face of it. For instance, as an example of one of these things, it becomes a false god that it doesn't matter. And they will claim now, you know, the science is one of these false gods. And there's nothing wrong with science per se as far as the scientific method. You experiment and you learn about the world around you and the creation. I'm talking about the science, which is a whole different thing, the false religion. A good example to highlight this is Darwin. They still talk about Darwin's theory, and it's Darwin's theory, not Darwin's fact. Even in their own writings, it's Darwin's theory, not Darwin's fact. And people will still act, though, as if this is something you just take that for granted. The theory of evolution, natural selection, it's all totally real. It's a religion. The scientific methodology of finding the truth, which involves seeking and finding the truth, has disproven Darwin. It's been disproven. But you won't hear them say that. They just pretend. They keep adding new stipulations. Well, it could be real if. And I want to get into the woods of it, but I will tell you, it's been mathematically, with genetic research, when you get into genetic research and how many, you know, how long it takes for DNA to mutate, even in the most simplest organisms, and it gets more complicated, the more complicated an organism is. We're going to keep going through this. Just bear with me. I'm going somewhere with this, I promise. When you figure in how long it takes, how many generations for a mutation to take hold, and you do the math of how many is required in a more complicated, it's impossible. So by the actual scientific method, Darwin has been disproven, but no one will say it. If we're following the science in as defined as the truth, then they have to say, well, Darwin's theory has been proven incorrect. We got to move on. But they won't do that, will they? Because it's not just about Darwin's theory. Think about it. In the Bible, in our beliefs, when we were telling our own story, God created the first man, Adam, in the image of God. Think about that. When you read the Old Testament, lineage is very, very important. When they get to an important character, when they get to an important individual in the Bible, at the beginning, they will usually tell you his lineage all the way back to Adam, the first man, because it is important. Your genetics carry over. This person had a relation to Adam. When we told our own story, we had a relation to those who came before us. We had a relation all the way back to the first man, Adam, that God created in his own image. But what does the Darwin religion say? You're a monkey. Think about the blasphemy of that for a minute. This is why it doesn't matter that mathematically and genetics, the combination of mathematics and genetic science says Darwin's theory is bullshit and it's impossible. It's not real. It doesn't matter. It's about that narrative. You see, you have on the one hand our story, which is you were related to the first man, Adam, which was created in God's image. So you share in that. Two, you came from a monkey. You're nothing more than a monkey relation. When we tell our own story and you have a relation to your ancestors and those that came before you, even all the way back to the first man, Adam, you feel an obligation to honor that, to carry it forward. But if you're just a monkey, you're just an animal. You're just a monkey man. Then what obligation do you have to those who came? They're dead and gone. What do you care? Just do what you want to do. Just live out your life no better than a monkey. Because at the heart of it, that's who you really are. You see, there's great immense power in who's telling our story, isn't it? And they tell our story to us. They tell us who we are. They tell us what our history is. They tell us what is right or wrong because we've abandoned our story. Now we let others tell it to us. We have to recapture our story. This is why the truth matters. We have to start speaking up for who we are. We have to start telling our story to ourselves, our children, and our grandchildren again. Yeah, I mean, yeah, you're up against a vast media operation, movies, music, entertainment, TV. But you still got to do it. I mean, otherwise, what do you do? Throw up your hands and just let them have it? Just let them continue to tell your children and grandchildren who they are, this lie of who they are, where they came from, what their history is. Look, I don't care who the president is. I don't care who you vote for Congress, what political upheavals. You know, people always act like if you just change who's at the top, the whole country will change. I'm going to tell you something. As long as you have a country full of godless people, you're going to have a godless country. Doesn't matter. If that's what they're going to do, if that's what they're going to chase after, you're not going to fix all these other problems. People will go on, you know, what's the answer? What's the answer? Well, the answer is if individual people choose not to go along any longer, they choose to do better. They choose to live better. They choose to reject the lies and turn to the Lord, to turn to their story, to rediscover their story. If enough people collectively do that, you will start to see things change. I don't care what the government does. I don't care what the media proclaims and how loud they shout it. If enough individual people, everybody always like, somebody's got to do something, and no one ever seems to have the answer to what they want to do because they don't want to put the work in. They want an easy answer. If we could just get this guy elected, if we could just do this, if we could just overthrow this system, and what would you be left with? A godless people that would just fall into another stupid trap, another stupid system, following, chasing after whatever. The work is individual people have got to start deciding that the truth matters. Individual people have to say, you know what? This is all bullshit, and I'm going to quit listening to it and get back to who am I really? Where did I come from? Start telling our own story. And collectively, again, if enough individual people do that, that's a lot of work. No, it's not going to change things overnight. We didn't get where we are overnight either. And no, you don't have the power of a mass media operation. But you still have to put in the work. I mean, you've got to put the effort in. When the Lord returns, it doesn't matter if what you're doing looks futile to everyone else. When the Lord returns and observes, and you're the one last guy. Imagine, for example, you know, in the Bible, they use, you know, Jesus gives the example of, you know, someone that owns property and, you know, the landowner, and he's got flocks of sheep, and he hires these hired men to look after the sheep and then goes away on a journey. Jesus used this illustration several times. And then he comes back to find what? What's the servants doing? Now imagine the master coming back and all the servants have let the sheep go wherever. They're in town, whoring it up, drinking it up, doing whatever. But he finds this one guy who's got four sheep over here in the corner keeping him out of trouble. He's got four. The master had, you know, 10,000 head of sheep. They're gone who knows where because the servants all abandoned their role, went off town drinking and whoremongering. But he finds this one guy who maybe isn't even supposed to be a shepherd. He was just the guy digging a well, and he looked around and said, what the hell is going on? And well, he gathered these four sheep and kind of put them over here in the corner where the wolves wouldn't eat them. And he's like, well, everything else is on fire around me, but I'll hold these sheep here. And now the master comes back and he finds this one guy who it wasn't even appointed a shepherd. And he's doing this with these four sheep. Now, somebody else would walk up and say, what are you even doing, man? The 10,000 sheep are scattered to the wind. What are you doing holding these four sheep over here? The whole place is on fire. The servants are nowhere to be found. Why are you wasting your time? That's what somebody from the outside would say. But when the master comes and he sees the place is on fire, the 10,000 sheep are scattered to the wind, the servants have abandoned their duty to go a chasing after drunkenness and whoredoms. In his wrath, he looks over, and this guy, who was just hired to dig a well, he's over here holding four sheep in the corner, you know, looking around like, what am I doing? I'm going to tell you, it didn't matter. It's just four. This guy, everybody else said, this is futile. What are you doing? But he was doing the right thing. That's got to be your mindset. It doesn't matter. Look, it doesn't matter if you're just the guy over here holding four sheep together, two sheep, one sheep. You're putting in the work. You're doing, you're holding to the truth. It doesn't matter what it's, how it's the opposite of that false message we talked about earlier, where they look around receiving these heresies and going, well, I guess it must be so because everyone else is doing it. Well, everyone else in our illustration here has gone into town, drunken it up. You got to be the lone guy. It doesn't matter what it looks like to everybody else. If you're the lone guy, you just do your thing. You're the lone guy holding on to the truth, doing what you got to do. If you got the chance to hold one sheep from falling into the ditch, trust me, you're going to get credit for that. It looks pointless to everybody else. Well, I'm going to make a dent in the 10,000 that are scattered. That's not your job. And if enough people are doing that little bit, if enough people are putting in that effort, then it will make a difference. Look, we all know things are bad. I mean, they're bad. And anybody that tells you, oh, we're going to somehow turn it around without the people turning away from evil, they're kidding themselves. I mean, just when the people are chasing after every form of godlessness and wickedness and evil, I don't care what kind of uplifting message you have. I don't care, you know, what kind of grand strategy or plan you think you have. If you're dealing with a godless people that are chasing after all of these different vanities, nothing's going to change for the better. The people have got to choose to turn away and turn back to who they're supposed to be, to recapture and understand, to turn their hearts back to the Lord. I'm telling you, if you don't do that, you're not going to get anywhere. I don't care. You know, I don't care what kind of message you think you have. You're not going to see any change. And the only thing you have power is over yourself. So you start with yourself. And when you have a chance to, you know, do things, you know, share this message with your children or grandchildren, whatever, you know, you do that. It looks like it's not going to make any difference. You're like that guy holding four sheep while the whole place is on fire. But that's what you got to do. When the master returns, he's not going to sit there and go, well, you're an idiot. No, he's going to say, well, hey, thank you. You're the one guy. It wasn't even your job. And you're over here holding four sheep. Give this guy a reward. Where are you headed, master? I'm going into town. We're fixing. It ain't going to be my place that's on fire here in a few minutes because the whole town's fixing to be burned down. And all these people in it. It's not vanity with the Lord. It's not. It's not point. Men will tell you it's pointless, and don't listen to them. Do what you can do. This is the only way. I'm telling you, it is. It's a lot of work, and it looks pointless. And this is why we strive for what is to come, because everything in this world, at the end of the day, is vanity. It is going to pass away. That is the nature of this creation of time. It's what you do with it. And again, if enough people do that, you will see some change. But if you don't, if you just think you're going to do snap your fingers and, you know, oh, if we had this one guy took over, everything would be fixed. You're kidding yourself. It's not, especially in this day where our story is being told to us by others instead of by ourselves. The narrative is being told to the people from others, not us. People's hearts don't change. You're not going to see it. They're just going to keep getting worse. Anyway, we're going to wrap up. I hope you got something out of the whole show, especially the Christian-specific segment. That's my favorite part. think it's the most important part of the show. Personally, hope you got something out of it. Look, when you look around at people, understand why this happened. Again, those that sounded the alarm generations ago, you know, I mean, we can look back and see where our ancestors dropped the ball, and they did. There's no shortage of examples of that. But at the same time, we mustn't forget there were those who came before us that warned everybody, and they got mocked. They got mocked. The next generation said they're silly. What's so satanic about Leave It to Beaver on the TV? Well, you ain't going to find no Leave It to Beaver on TV now, are you? You see, they were just warning what was coming. Yeah, they had to start off with Leave It to Beaver. If they had started right off with, I don't know, gay eye for the straight guy or whatever the hell, other kind of nonsense, then everybody would have just been up in arms. See, they had to ease them into the deception, didn't they? Those people got mocked, but they were right. And here we are today. Our narrative told by others, and you have a godless people, and we got a mess. And this, again, you have the historical record of the Bible. When it gets like this, the outcome is always, it's always going to be a negative one. Anyway, we're gonna wrap up on that note. Again, I thank you for joining me. I hope you got something out of the show, and hopefully I'll see you here next week for the Parish of the Patriots.